Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
What's up and welcome in on this Monday to Grant and Danny, September 15th, 2025. You are listening to The Fan. We will take you up to 6:15 tonight and pregame of Nats baseball, 4 hours and 15 minutes with you on G&D. 5 o'clock today, show highlighted by our appointment with our buddy Jay Gruden, head coach of the Washington Redskins back in the day. And, of course, you will hear from, speaking of head coaches, Dan Quinn, the current head coach of the Commanders, meets the media at 3:30. That's particularly important today, and we'll have that press conference live because it's very newsy. What is going on with the knee of Jaden Daniels? Will he be able to practice this week? Will he be able to play against the Raiders? Is he going to miss time? How serious is this knee injury that led to concern and an MRI after the game on Friday morning, which we told you about here on G&D and The Fan? So Dan Quinn speaks with reporters. They've been very coy. They're not saying much out at the park. First time he'll address this injury is at 3:30 today. You'll hear it live on The Fan.
So forgive us. You can hear the show's not 100%. I'm doing a little bit better. I'm on the back end of it. Grant's on the start. When we turn our mics off, you ever see like a TV show or a movie where they like are trying to portray the waiting room of a hospital during some sort of like outbreak or whatever, and it's like chaos. Everyone's going, this is just, it's disgusting in here. It is gnarly and gross and awful, but we will persevere. We're chopping wood because you guys are out there. Tens of you are listening to the program. We're on. Let's go.
Not all heroes wear capes.
That's right. Sometimes you wear polo shirts or like Under Armour shirts.
Love the NFL on Sundays where you just get to put your feet up and
my feet with up.
Bounce around on Sunday Ticket and Red Zone. Some of the headlines from yesterday, the Bengals lose Joe Burrow for 3 months in their win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jake Browning off the bench throws for 240 and a couple tutties, but he threw three picks as well, ended up leading a 92-yard, 15-play drive that won them the game with 18 seconds left. Jacksonville narrowly misses out on going 2-0. Trevor Lawrence still got some work to do with Liam Cohen. It hasn't been perfect. Turned the ball over a couple times yesterday. But what a damaging injury. Nothing that's happened in the NFL so far this season.
Pretty seismic.
Has been more problematic for a team than one of the best quarterbacks in the league going down for 3 months. Toe surgery coming up for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, the most depressed you can be at 2-0. I mean, their whole point was to avoid a bad start. They're 2-0. They haven't been 2-0 in a millennium, pretty much, numbers approximate. And here they are, 2-0, but it's kind of a womp-womp.
I think yesterday was actually interestingly pretty good for Washington in trying to figure out if what we've seen so far sings a better or worse story about the Commanders. And this is not how football works, but you know what I mean. Like, they manhandled the Giants and beat them by 15, and defensively they shoved it on New York, and we thought, yeah, but that's a dreadful offense that's not going to really move the ball or score a lot of points on anybody. And then they went out and lit up the Cowboys for 37 points, still lost in overtime. But Russell Wilson, who the Commanders held to sub-50% passing and had on the precipice of being benched after one game, throws for 450 yards and three touchdowns in an epic all-time Wilson one last gasp performance. Malik Nabers goes 9 for 167 in a pair. Wandell Robinson goes 8 for 142 in a tutty. And so the Giants looked really, really good. Similarly, you know, the Packers had shoved it on the Lions going back to week one. And so there's this thought that, well, maybe Green Bay's defense is just that good because they shut down the Lions, hit their running backs in the backfield on three quarters of running plays in week one, and then they dominated Washington. And we're like, ah, but maybe Detroit's not as good as we thought. Well, Detroit's pretty good.
That was pretty good.
They hung 50 on Ben Johnson and the Bears. They beat up on their old offensive coordinator. Made it look like Ben Johnson was calling plays as they just completely destroyed him.
Hey, Ben, remember this one? You used to dial that one up.
Right. 52 points. So I think because the Lions played as well as they did and because the Giants looked as competitive as they were able to against the Cowboys, if you want to play that game for Washington, kind of speaks well to who they've played, what they've done.
You can do a little transitivity game, and you always end up at a weird place. But to your point, the small samples we have do tell us a little bit of a story. The story to me right now, Green Bay is as good as we've got in this league. Whether they will be that in 3 months, whether they'll be that in January, hoisting a trophy, you know, a lot of things can happen. Adjustments get made, film becomes available, injuries happen, improvement in play because a lot of teams didn't do much in the preseason, et cetera. We'll figure a lot out over the next couple of months. But right now, Green Bay is better than everybody, pretty much. That's kind of my thesis statement. Maybe them and the Bills are the two buzzsaws at this point. The Eagles are very good. I understand that. But I haven't seen anything better than what Green Bay's turned in through two games against what we think are pretty quality opponents, where they have been so head and shoulders, so clearly better than the teams that they were playing against, that it was thanks for coming by. We're just going to get some work in and send you guys home with your tail between your legs to Detroit and then Washington. So, yeah, I mean, at this stage, you go, now, the injuries, and we'll talk about Jaden Daniels and his knee, but you feel a little bit better, if you're me at least, and maybe some fans, if you observed all the data, you go, I don't feel as bad about that loss. Again, you'd like to be that team that's the buzzsaw. You'd like to compete with them. But in week two, with a lot of the happenstance behind them, I'll sort of take that L on a short week.
Yeah, I want to get into Jaden Daniels' knee in just a couple of minutes as well, for sure. You mentioned, though, the Packers being the best team in football so far. I don't know if you can put them number one in the power rankings because the defending champions, Eagles, have played and beaten Dallas and then just played Kansas City, who's considered a Super Bowl contender every year, and they beat them as well on the road 20-17. Philly is doing the Kansas City thing, though, of the last few years. Track with me here. The Chiefs, the thing you and I would always jokingly say is they can't keep getting away with this, where it's this listless, unexciting, boring, explosive playless offense and a good defense and a running game with nothing happening more than 7, 8, 9 yards at a time. And in the end of the game, you'd look up and they'd make one or two winning plays with a winner of a quarterback, Mahomes, Hurts in this case, and they'd win an ugly game. That is what the Eagles have been for 2 weeks. It's what they were for a major stretch last year. There's just nothing sexy about them at all. There's no style points with them. Are they a really good team? No doubt. Is Nick Sirianni deserve his flowers because he's a really good head coach? I'd say yes to that. But Jalen Hurts threw for 101 yards yesterday. Like, they have way too much talent for A.J. Brown to have been a non-factor in a couple games. Devontae Smith, if not for a 28-yard catch yesterday, was whisper quiet. Saquon Barkley through two games has been, you know, a workhorse without a whole lot to show for it. It's weird to me because you would think that this would be a really juicy, fun, like sex appeal offense. It's not. And I'm sure you heard the audio at the end of the game that went viral, which was great. But it's kind of the embodiment, I think, of the Eagles right now, where Chris Jones is standing up over the ball as they're kneeling. And he's yelling at Jalen Hurts that he didn't even have 100 yards passing. And Hurts is like, we won the bleeping game, you idiot. And that's kind of what the Eagles are right now. Like, I'm not impressed by them, but they're really, really good, and they're going to be really hard to beat.
You know there's more gears there, because you already touched on it. There's so much talent. They haven't needed to deploy A.J. Brown and to have one of those 10 for 177-yard, two-touchdown games. They haven't needed we need a comeback, so we'll sling it to Devontae Smith or use Dallas Goedert or whatever.
But I don't think they've chosen not to look good as a passing game.
No, I just think they haven't hit yet. I don't think they've hit on all cylinders yet.
They have survived in advance, but it's chicken or the egg. Like, to me, it just so happens that they've won without that. It's not like they didn't need it to win.
They did that 2 years ago when they started off hot and we kept going, they're winning all these games. They deserve credit for that. But, and then they had that swoon on the back end that everybody overreacted to and went, oh my God, they're doomed. They'll never win again. The Sirianni should be fired before they went on to a Super Bowl year. This reminds me of that, to be honest with you. Again, they deserve credit for being 2-0. They've beaten two good teams. We'll see how good Dallas is. But I've been impressed in the sense that the old cliche of find a way to win thing is happening. I mean, that's nothing they did well forced Travis Kelce, Mr. Swift, to drop that pass to cause an interception, which really was the difference in the game. Catch the ball, get in the end zone against a team that I hate, please. That's why they won. That's not something they did well. He was open. The ball hit Kelce right in the damn hands. So they deserve credit for being able to capitalize and do enough, but it wasn't like some remarkable performance where you go, how the hell do you beat this team? I know how, right? They absolutely could have lost this one to Kansas City, who's 0-2 and everybody's panicking.
Yeah, that offense is pretty washed at this point, that Chiefs offense.
They need Rice back ASAP. Four more games.
Which, by the way, I found it really weird. They were all wearing free Rice t-shirts before the game, as if he like got popped for weed or something, or nobody knows why he got suspended. Anybody done some double-clicking on that?
It's very mysterious.
It was literally like driving wildly. There's video of him leaving a scene. He could have killed people with a massive crash. And Travis Kelce and all these grown-ups are wearing t-shirts that say free Rice. I thought that was a choice that probably didn't sit too well with all the people that were involved in that incident in Kansas City or in Texas, wherever the hell that was, that he got suspended the 6 games for. Elsewhere, though, yesterday, Drake May was awesome for the Patriots. 19 of 23, 230-2. They beat Miami. I wouldn't want to be Mike McDaniel right now. Got to win that football game. They didn't. He was asked after the game about losing, and his quote was something to the effect of, well, to win the game, you have to win the game. And we lost the game, so we didn't win the game. And we talked about this last week.
Yep.
His shtick, as those losses pile up,
it ain't cute,
is not going to go over well. Not like they have a big-time, strong media that's going to hold his feet to the fire, but fans just don't like that. There was a great sequence in that game, by the way, where the Dolphins returned a punt for a touchdown, 74 yards to take a 27-23 lead with about 7.5 minutes to go. And then on the ensuing kickoff right after that, former Commander Redskin football teamer, I think he was here for all three, Antonio Gibson, 90-yard kick return touchdown to take the lead back 30-27. And they go on to win 33-27.
What a sequence. Yeah, Miami, to me, week one, they looked like they quit and didn't care. Week two, they actually didn't. I thought they actually looked better in this game, like more competitive. Not good. I'm not telling you that they're going to be anything but bad this year. But it didn't look like they'd rolled over and died to me. And I think that might have been one of those last gasp type situations. It just doesn't feel like they're on the same page, like anybody wants to be there. They just seem miserable coming to work.
Worst vibes team in the NFL.
Yeah.
By far.
That's the way to put it.
49ers get a win without Brock Purdy or George Kittle or Kyle Juszczyk, who got hurt, or Brandon Ayuk and so many other players. Christian McCaffrey runs for 55. How about Mac Jones? I thought that was the story of the game. This is something that we talked about last week, and I kind of predicted he's going to look okay against bad teams because it's the Kyle Shanahan scheme. He gets guys open. Kyle really wanted him in the draft when they traded up to 3. They ended up siding with Trey Lance. Mac Jones throws for 280 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks in this game as they beat New Orleans. Now, they beat an 0-2 team that's going to probably lose 13 times this year.
Yep.
So I'm not sitting here pretending like they would have
beaten. But still, road win with a backup quarterback and not many guys healthy besides Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
And call Mac me impressed,
Jones,
yeah.
He, by the way, on his contract, he gets $100,000 for every game he starts that they win. So the cash register cha-ching happened for him yesterday. Bills blew out the Jets. Justin Fields is hurt again. By the way, sorry, Danny, I started him in our G&D Listener League, where we're co-managers.
Yep.
He was coming off of a great game. He had a good matchup.
That was a terrific matchup. That happens.
Started him, and it just completely backfired
on him. Yeah, the person who started Joe Burrow, it backfired on him. I mean, that's a sensible, reasonable thing to do, so I am boning a couple leagues.
Joe Burrow wasn't 3-for-11 for 20 yards before that.
I mean, audience loves that. I didn't want to draft.
Are we cheering for injuries now, audience? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, it's not a high-class audience, ours. Yeah, I didn't start him because he's a proficient passer. That's the guy I wanted to run around, and I thought there'd be plenty of running in a game that they would be outclassed in.
James Cook ran for a 130 and 2 touchdowns in that game.
Yeah, that Bills game, by the way, real quick, I know you're moving on. That was we don't really have to do anything today.
Oh, yeah.
We're so much better than you. We're just going to hand it off and kill the clock for the next 45 minutes.
The Jets stink.
That was a shh. Don't bother.
By the way, the New York football market.
Yeah, tough times.
They're 0-4. Yep. They're bad every year, both of those teams. Yep. It really is amazing.
Yeah, hate to see it.
How in that market, with that big of a collective football group of fans, two different fan bases, they can never get it right.
No.
All that money, all that interest, pretty amazing. Steelers crash back to earth. Aaron Rodgers threw 2 picks. Did not come as easily as it did in the first game. Seattle's defense is going to be a pain in the butt.
They're good.
They get 100 yards from Kenneth Walker on the ground. Sam Darnold threw 2 early picks and overcame that to throw for 2 touchdowns and a win. Went for 295. I think they'll go as far as he'll take them, which is not very far. I'm just not a big Sam Darnold fan behind this offensive line. but that was a good win. Did you see in the Nashville in Tennessee? So the Rams beat the Titans 33-19. They were a lot of people's survivor team. Devontae Adams caught a touchdown, 33 yards. He went for 106 in the game. But did you see the Cam Ward touchdown pass? First of his career or first of this game? Where he was like rolling to his right, extending the play all the way to the sideline, threw back to the top of the letters in the end zone, the other side of the field. Unbelievable
play. Just go, okay, let's all be patient. Let's all make sure we give this kid
a
chance.
Did you see that play?
Yeah, yeah.
So good. Anything else stand out? 4 o'clock window? I mean, the ending of that Colts-Broncos.
I was going to say Colts-Broncos is the story.
So Indianapolis is 2-0. Daniel Jones has been excellent twice. We said, well, let's see what happens when they play a good defense. Broncos might have the best defense in the league when the dust settles this year. Jones throws for 315 in that game. Didn't rush really at all. He stayed in the pocket. Didn't turn the ball over, though. No interceptions. But Shane Steichen, I thought this was terrible. They basically get to the 40-yard line, 45-yard line. They've got a 60-yard field goal upcoming. And with like a minute and a half to go, he just shuts it down. Why would we try to make a 60-yard field goal? A 40-yard field goal with a kicker who's kicked like 9 times in his career. So they just start basically taking the air out of the ball.
Yep.
To set up 60 yards for the win. The kick was nowhere near. It was like 5 yards wide and 5 yards shy. It was a terrible attempt and a worse coaching decision. But the only thing more ridiculous was the Broncos touched the center.
Leverage.
So you get 15 yards, 60 becomes 45, and then Schrader hits the game-winning field goal for what was his third of the second half and his fifth of the game, and they end up winning 29-28.
I totally understand that rule about trying to protect the centers. I mean, I think of our buddy Nick Sundberg, where I remember, like, I think snapped a ball, then someone tried to go through him and broke his arm, and, you know, I have sympathy for that. I don't know that that should be a 15-yard penalty. I understand the point is you want to protect those guys, and, like, a 5-yard penalty would be traumatic enough because you get another chance to kick it, or a 10-yard penalty. 15, again, is just so extreme to me, but that, I digress. Yeah, the Colts were lucky to escape with that win. That was a really good football game as they went back and forth.
What did you make of Sunday Night Football? Penix, meh. Falcons offense kind of stunk.
The only thing that I noticed is every quarterback would drop back and get sacked a million times. Like, both pass rushes were just fine and effective. I mean, Atlanta's been hunting for that for a millennia, and they might have it now. And that was fearsome, both of those.
They had 6 sacks of J.J. McCarthy. Yeah, I was going to say, Penix was meh, and that was way, way better than McCarthy, who I thought was downright bad. 11 of 21, 2 interceptions for him. I mean, he just looked like he was getting teed off on, to your point.
So, no, I think Darisaw was out for Minnesota. I mean, he's here producing today, so credit to him for coming back and
Darris
helping
Dameron
us.
Darris Dameron-Assaw.
Yeah. Christian Darris Dameron-Assaw. And I think Atlanta was missing somebody, too. I actually tuned in a little bit late to get the injury updates.
Their tackle's out for the year.
Yeah, it was out for the year. There you go. So maybe that's part of the reason the pass rushers were so damn effective, but Atlanta all of a sudden became a team that I'm going, I'm not that excited to play here in a couple weeks. Right? Again, offensively, I think they're going to be limited. Penix, who I still like, is let's get it to Bijan Robinson short. Let's get it to other guys kind of short, quick. Not even intermediate passing game.
Is that
not really
him
downfield?
Or is that their offense with Zach Robinson?
I think it's 6-1, half dozen of the other.
Because I got frustrated by that watching Kirko Chains last year. I think that's how they call plays, to be honest.
They might, but there were a couple opportunities to push the ball down the field, and he just didn't seem comfortable hitting them. And there was a corner route to the end zone that he stepped into, and it just missed by 5, 6, 7 yards. Wasn't competitive. He's good getting the ball out of his hands quickly, moving around a little bit. But yeah, for Atlanta, this to me was more about that pass rush, and I kind of went, damn, that's not something I'm excited to see in a couple weeks.
They have had the worst statistical pass rush for 5 years running in the NFL over that period, but they traded up significantly. I still think it was an insane trade based on the value they gave up, but they drafted 2 edge rushers in the first round,
yep,
both of whom had one of their 6 sacks last night. So that was kind of the script to be a defensive-led team that can put you away with the running game, and they ran wild. Bijan Robinson, 143 yards. Tyler Algier, 76 yards rushing. So it was like 38 for right around 210 rushing yards or something like that. By the way, did you see that? I heard Tirico say this on Sunday Night Football. So it's always been Bijan Robinson. Then this offseason, I saw the video circulating everywhere where Bijan Robinson said in an interview he wants to be Bijan Robinson because that's what his mom and his grandma prefer. He's like, it's not Bijan. People have always said it wrong. It's Bijan. We're like, okay. Well, then he told Tirico in the meeting before Sunday Night Football last night he wants to go back to Bijan because he doesn't like how it sounds when people say it the right way. So now I'm just about to check out on that. Like, I just, someone just tell me what to do. Because I try to get people's names right, But when you have changed it publicly twice in a couple of months, I'm just trying to get your name in.
Yeah, I don't have the energy or the hustle for it.
Right.
When you can't, it's so there are two subcategories here. One, when everyone does the overly familiar for someone they don't know nickname thing. Again, the one I always use is Nuke Hopkins, where everybody just stops saying DeAndre and they're like, we're friends, me and Nuke. We go to GR restaurants together. You don't. You don't know him. You're not buddies. You're not like in his inner circle because he's on your fantasy team that time or whatever. That I can't stand, won't do that. No, thank you. So that's one category. The next category is like the tricky first name. If you can't make up your mind, it's hard for me to put in that much more effort. As part of the difficult name crew, Rouye is not easy.
Right.
That's a lot of French letters in a row. There's a lot of vowels. There's a soft sound. No one's sure what to do. Do your best. I'm not going to get mad.
I thought it was amazing. I mean, Tirico said this from the meeting. He's like, yes, I did correct everyone and tell them that is what my grandma and my mom prefer. But I guess now that he's heard it enough, he's like, I just like Bijan better.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going with.
Okay.
And I hope no one corrects me at any point. Because when he's changed his mind a couple times, you can't possibly expect me to be on point.
That's kind of where I am, is just nobody yell at me. And that goes for everything.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. So we did not talk yet about Jaden Daniels' knee. And that is the story of the day. That is the issue. We'll tell you what we're hearing and whether or not he's likely to play this weekend. We'll get to that next on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Dan Quinn speaks in 1 hour. 3:30 press conference for the head coach today. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Danny, Ian Rappaport moments ago, NFL media, saying that the Daniels MRI revealed a sprained knee. He says it's not a long-term injury, but Daniels' status this week against the Raiders is in doubt. This meshes with exactly what I've heard, which was to say, we had just teased going to break. We're going to talk about this coming back. And we didn't know, obviously, this report would break during this time. But what I've heard all along was it would be surprising if he played. I think when you're dealing with a guy that's his age and that was able to recover as quickly as he did last year and play through the broken rib that he did,
right,
they're not just going to rule him out outright and say there's no way that we know, you know, on a Friday, Saturday after an MRI, he's definitely not going to be ready the following week. But if you're going to be a little bit conservative with him, or if you're going to not let him play unless he's 100%, it is unlikely based on, I'll use the word, severity of, or just how banged up the knee is, that he was going to be ready to be himself. So I haven't gone hard in the paint to say he's not going to play, but everything that I've heard from multiple people has been they've got a plan for him, and that barring a real surprise, it was unlikely that he was going to be able to get back on the field against the Raiders, which would set up a game for Marcus Mariota to start against the last team he started for.
Yeah, his former team. What I never understood was the casual confidence from so many that everything was fine and he'll be okay and it's all good. And you know, this is both a relief that it's not something more serious, but also concerning that it's going to affect him in some way, right? And now we're kind of doing this dance. But the casual confidence I heard from, you know, whether I'm listening to different shows or fans or the Twitterati or everything else, that, yeah, you know, he's okay. It's nothing. And he was going to play this weekend. There was this assumption. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing, hearing, and consuming, because we did last year where he had a broken rib or ribs. They wouldn't admit it. He's getting wrapped up like a mummy between every possession, and there's never an admission that everything was fine. So to me, and I'm not faulting them, by the way, I'm not criticizing anybody, simply saying, if that's how you're going to be in terms of keeping things tight-lipped, close to the vest, etc., I don't do what you say at face value anymore, right? You're not in the business. You've made it clear with your mission. You have no interest in letting me know and letting the public know what's going on intimately with injuries, and you're doing whatever the rule is, etc. You're not going to offer any excuses. You've made it very clear that you don't care that we are in the circle of trust and we know the deal. So what I'm going to do from now on is not believe you when you tell me everything's fine, or you know, sort of keep digging when you let me know that he'll be fine, or you know, whatever the statements happen to be. So I was confused by the people that just sort of assumed that he would be good to go this weekend. But back to this. Again, I'm grateful it's not something more serious, because when you hear knee, automatically that's one of those touch points or clutch points of somebody's body where something's going on there. You start thinking about surgeries. You start thinking about longer recoveries, et cetera. So again, sprained knee is good. What's bad is it's going to affect him. And I'm very, very hopeful that they are smarter than, frankly, I thought they were last year.
So I want to get into that, first of all. This idea of protecting him from himself, not allowing him to just go out and play through pain. Knee, very different than a rib. The comparisons, obviously, that everyone's going to make unfairly to the team that I covered with the Shanahans, with the number two overall pick, who was dealing with a knee that he'd injured and tried to play through it and then ended up shredding the knee, right? Which is, again, not a fair comparison or a reasonable one, but that's what life is. Life is about living through things and then having that affect how you view things moving forward. So I think anyone trying to shout people down or get angry at people who lived through that are being foolish and irresponsible. Like, of course, when you've seen a player try to play through a knee injury who runs around as a dual threat, and you live through the greatest rug being pulled out from underneath of you all time, it's going to affect the way you view something like this. But I do want to say as well, it seems to me like what's coming out, I have to imagine it's from the agent side. I don't think the team, which has decided not to put this out all along, would start leaking things today. Now, to be clear, when they leak things, it's going to be the national media. I don't know why, but they just don't. This group in general, I would say, is not a big fan of leaking things locally, from what I can gather, but that's a whole nother point. I think, though, this is the agent, and I think that the team is waiting for Dan Quinn to speak at 3:30, and that's, they're big on messaging. They're big on everyone being on the same page. Uh-huh. They're going to have a meeting. Here, how are we going to say this? How are we going to couch this? How are we going to do this? Everyone will beat by that drum. They've been incredible in that way.
Uh-huh.
So why wait until an hour before he speaks to then send this to Shefty and Rap Sheet? I think this is probably more the agent side kind of getting their part of it out, especially when you see some of the things about, hey, not serious, not long-term, all that stuff. I'm not convinced, based on everything I've heard, that he's just going to be back at practice, like first thing next week either. I think there's a chance that this could be a couple of week thing. Not to say that I would expect him to miss the Atlanta game, because remember, it was a Thursday game.
Yep.
Not a Sunday game. So you might actually, even if it's a 2-week-ish recovery, which is kind of what I'd heard, you might still be able to come back and play in that game. But all I'm saying is, I think we've got to wait and see. If you hear anything definitive, like he's definitely going to be out at 2 or 3 games, I think that person is being too aggressive in their timeline of getting that out there. And if you hear the opposite with the team right now, or the agent, where they come out and say, hey, he's not going to miss any time, that's probably too extreme the other way. Because again, you just don't know yet. You got to see, how does he respond? When does the swelling go down? The swelling was substantial from what I'd heard, right? So this was, but that was why we put it out there on Friday. Everyone was like, oh, well, an MRI. So what? Players get MRIs. The point wasn't just that it was an MRI. It was an MRI and some concern about the results and what that would mean. So Could he play against the Raiders? Yeah, because I said all last season leading up to the broken rib game against the Bears, he probably wasn't going to play in that game. Didn't really practice, and they let him play anyway. I just think this is different. This is a knee. This is a guy that runs around. This is a guy that takes shots. I would not allow him to play unless he is absolutely 100%. And I'm not sure that that's realistic.
Yeah, and there is a difference. I mean, having broken my ribs, it's excruciating and awful and the worst thing ever in terms of pain or whatever. But that's a pain management thing, right? These guys go through so much, it's incredible. You put your flak jacket on, you take your ridiculous painkiller type shot, and you just sort of hope you don't get hit the wrong way, right? It's hard to breathe, it's hard to do anything. But with a knee, one of those like pressure-bearing load spots where your entire athletic being, start, stop, jump, squat, run, stop running, throw, plant, if you don't have it, you don't have it. And there, it's a waste of time. You need to, you know what I mean? Like the thing we learn, you reference Robert Griffin. To me, it's impossible not to evoke some of those memories and lessons learned, or what should have been learned, was there is a chasm, a Grand Canyon-style ravine between the word cleared and he's good to go. Cleared means he's not any danger of re-aggravating or making it worse just by living and breathing and playing football.
Yeah.
The good to go means you can't do what you do. And when you can't do what you do, in my for my money, you are more at risk. If you can't make the shimmy, if you can't make the Chris Cooley jelly leg, you can't do the push off, you can't do the directional change with the same explosiveness, you can't protect yourself the right way. You can't do the things that make you you. So I need to be cautious. Now, this is NFC Championship Sunday. Let's figure it out. If this is, you know, the most meaningful game you got, they're all important because this is, you know, whatever it is, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever percent of your schedule, these next couple of games might be almost 20%. You need this player to be on the football field for as long as possible, but you also need him for years, not for a rush back for a week so you can beat Atlanta. So we have to have long-term thinking here. I'm hoping they're more judicious maybe than they were last year. He probably should have sat one of those games, to be honest with you. I don't know which one when the rib injury was at its worst, but to me there was a kind of, you know, a time where he clearly was not himself and something should have happened.
Compromised.
Yeah.
He did not play at the same level and it wasn't particularly close. And in fact, he wasn't able to be Jaden Daniels, nor we always talked about when he would leave the pocket and run and he would just kind of like turtle and fall over. You knew, forget the fact that he's getting heating pads put on him on the bench or he's getting wrapped up like a mummy, you know, and everyone's like, oh, it's fine. It's normal. That's just normal stuff.
Yeah, not normal at all.
I've never seen that for a guy that's healthy, but whatever. But remember, there were a couple plays against the Eagles and I think one other game where like he left the pocket and he just literally kind of turtled and protected himself.
Yeah.
Not him, but he was compromised and he played anyway. And to their credit, to his credit, they got through it. He was able to throw the Hail Mary and beat the Bears, even though a couple of his rough performances like that Road Eagles game were in that stretch. I just think overall, if not for those four games, let's say he misses two or three of those, then we look back at last year, and without those numbers, he played at an MVP level for essentially the entire time he was out on the field. You saw that, and you're like, oh, have they solved it? Is this the Cliff? What? No. He just wasn't 100%. But they didn't necessarily tell him you can't do it because it's a rib. And quarterbacks play through ribs all the time.
Yeah.
You pad it up. You're going to take some shots. It's a threshold thing. I think a knee is a different story. So the question I would ask you guys is, what should be the line of delineation, the threshold for him to play against the Raiders or to be back on the field? Rap Sheet is saying his status is in doubt. That meshes with kind of what I've heard. I'd heard it's likely that he's not going to get to practice much this week, and he very well could miss this game against the Raiders. So if that is the case, if he's not going to play this weekend, do you need him to be 100% before he comes back? Would you let him play at 90%, 80%? Or is this one of those, like, my philosophy is, everything's case by case, it's early in the season, it's week three of a marathon, you're playing a team that you're hopefully better than, they're playing on Monday night and flying cross country. You're at home after having not played since Thursday, one of the biggest rest advantages you're going to get all football season in the NFL. You can win this game without him. And even if you were playing against the Chiefs, I would say, I'm not pushing it. You're too important. It's too long of a season. There's too many games on the back end. I got to get you back to 100 as soon as possible. But how do people feel about that? 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
G&D on the Fan. It is a hot tea day on Grant and Danny.
Yeah, I got my hot tea right here in my PVI mug. Big old hot tea. I got lemon in here. Ooh. I got some honey up in here.
I got a throat coat situation
going. Yeah, we're getting after it. Dude, we are a cutting edge, hot, sexy pair of radio hosts our hot tea today. Woo!
I see that noise I can't make. So you're further along in your recovery.
Yeah,
I
feel better because I'm a little drugged up, got my tea.
Last week, Thursday, Friday, Danny was just like sitting in here, sleeping
just
during
miserable.
Breaks.
Yeah.
You're at my house for the Thursday night watch, like said six words. I think I'm on your Friday from last week.
Yeah.
Yesterday, my buddy got married. Mm-hmm. Shout out to George. Beautiful wedding, amazing ceremony, beautiful bride. Yesterday, had a wedding, was there, enjoyed myself. Thoroughly. It was gorgeous. Rolling hills out west past Purcellville. But that was your Thursday.
Yeah.
Where I was like out on my feet and I'm like putting a beer can to my forehead and my wife's like, people are looking at you. Like, you have to do something other than this.
What did she think they thought? That you were like so hammered?
Probably.
Wasn't it pretty obvious that you weren't feeling great?
No.
No, okay.
Not if you didn't know me. I don't know what you would think. But I think I was embarrassing her a little bit. The Commanders are going to address what's going on with Jaden Daniels for the first time at 3:30. You're going to hear Dan Quinn live right here on The Fan. So make sure you're listening. That's coming up in 40 minutes. Ian Rappaport just broke some news on what's going on with the knee. Now, here's the part I didn't have and couldn't get. He says it's a sprained knee. I just couldn't figure out what the actual injury was. But what he's hearing is the same as what we've talked about and what meshes with what I've heard, which is he's got Jaden in doubt for this weekend. Status in doubt. Not saying he's doubtful yet. But he's saying his status is in doubt. I think what I told you today on the phone was if I had to make a bet on FanDuel right now, I'd say Jaden Daniels does not play against the Raiders. And I wouldn't feel great about saying what he's going to do against the Falcons. I think let's fast forward a week and see where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
He could be a very fast healer. That was certainly the case with the rib last year. He could have a high pain threshold. And I talked to Logan about this a lot on the new Take Command that we taped today. Just about some of the medicines and the amazing treatment and the things guys can get for anti-inflammatories and pain that you can get back sooner. This is not some season-ending injury. But my question, Danny, is how much do you really want to push this seriously? And I just cannot bring this up without acknowledging the past.
Yeah.
And I know people hear that and they go crazy and they get so mad. I'm sorry. It's part of it. Like, we all lived it. A guy hurt his knee and then was playing through that. More compromised than Jaden Daniels would be if he came back, I think. But while that happened, he ended up being seriously injured and never the same. I just am going to come to this from a place of, this is a marathon. There's no reason to push it to come back. For what reason? So that you can say you haven't missed a game? To give them the best possible chance to win, probably, so that you're not, quote-unquote, letting your teammates down in a team game. They got to be able to handle this one without you. And if they don't, so be it. You're 1-2. You got a lot of football ahead of you. There's still plenty of time to get this ship back on track. But you're playing after a week and a half of rest against a team that will get done playing tonight, East time, after midnight, into Tuesday morning, and is going to have to get on a plane on Friday or so to come here to play a 10 a.m. local time game for them. there's a reason odds makers have installed the Raiders as like a 6-point underdog in this game. That's the worst travel. They try to avoid it, and they never make you go cross country after Monday night to a team that just didn't play in since Thursday. That doesn't happen. That's so lopsided. You got to figure this one out without him. And I would just tell him, hey, bud, let's reconvene in a week and see where you're at.
So you've honed in on this Raiders game specifically. I don't care if they're playing, you know, the 89-49ers. I don't care who it is. Somebody take a long-term view in this week-to-week machismo, next man up, put it on the table and headbutt. No. The reason everyone's key card's going to work in a decade is that guy. All I wanted in the Griffin saga was someone to recognize the importance of the player. And I'm sorry that he wants to get back on the field. The adult in the room, be the adult in the room. Say, I'm glad you don't want to come out of the game starting pitcher. Hand me the ball, please. I'm glad you don't want to come out of the game wide receiver who's got to go to the blue tent. Go to the blue tent, please. This is not your call anymore. The future of the franchise, the reason we're going to be relevant or not, is banged up. Please take precious care as long as it takes. So for me, I don't care who the opponent is. I don't care who's this weekend, if this was Philly this weekend or if this was Dallas this weekend. Whatever, man. Put that aside for me. This is the entirety of his rookie contract. Hopefully, the instant they can back up the biggest Brinks truck in the history of mankind to give him 75, 80, 90, whatever million dollars a year, please do that immediately. We have the answer. Please take care of him. So my hope is that everyone recognizes that because the temptation is so, well, if we can get him at 80%, we put a little heat on that knee, put a brace on there, we can run a lot of these same packages, and he could do some of the decoy on the read option, give up the ball. Stop it. Don't make the same mistakes of the past. We're all products of our environments here.
Yeah.
I know we're a product of what forged me. I was there just like you guys were. Please be judicious here. Just the fact that it's this much, to me, I've already, Coach Danny Quinn, I've ruled him out. Now, who knows what they're going to do?
Yeah, and they may have behind the scenes, and they're not going to tell anybody that, right? There's no real reason to rule him out yet.
Right, there's no upside to it. Yeah, there's no requirement.
But yeah, in my mind, I'm already telling him. And I think there was some kind of meeting with him, from what I can gather, in the last 24 hours, where they put together a plan and kind of gave it to him and said, here's what we're thinking, here's the plan in place. And then he's got to determine, okay, this is what I would do. This is what I want to do. And they've got to protect him from himself. But I think he was given some marching orders. Here's how we're going to get you right. I don't know that it works like we think, though, where they say, you're definitely out in this game or you're playing. I think the point was, hey, we're going to not do this week. We're going to try to get you these reps. If you can do this and we hit this benchmark, then maybe here's what happens. But from the beginning, what I'd heard was this is not like a hour by hour, day by day thing. This is like a, you know, in a week or two, you might start really feeling better. And so if that's the case, you look at knee sprain recovery timelines. A mild grade one sprain can heal in 1 to 2 weeks. So let's say that's what he has. Mm-hmm. That's still really pushing it to come back in this game. It means you're probably getting back to where you need to be, you know, Friday, Saturday of next week before the Atlanta game, which is kind of what I've been suggesting throughout. A moderate grade two sprain is 3 to 6 weeks. You know, now you're talking about a month or so. I don't think that's what this is. A severe grade three sprain, because a sprain is a tear, right? Could take 6 weeks to 12 months. That's not what this is. This is not long term. Everyone has kind of shot that down. But also, I do think it has spoken volumes that the team has not come out to deflate any of this, has not come out to shoot any of these things down necessarily when there has been some speculation. Because you can't not tell people anything and then get mad when they speculate. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
But if they were, then it just tells you, okay, the information is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would be stunned if he played this weekend. And I'm not going to go as far as Rap Sheet to make it seem like early next week he should be back and fine. Not that he said those words, but he kind of alluded to that. I am in...
Because he said the static for this weekend is in doubt.
Right.
Meaning like after that, come on, exactly. Easy street. Yeah, it's interesting to me.
I think this is a couple week thing from when it happened on Thursday. And that gets me to middle of next week when things start to get interesting.
Uh-huh.
Could be wrong. I could be overstating it. And again, I was wrong on the rib because he played through it and I didn't think he would. I thought it was pretty cut and dry, man. Quarterback runs around, takes a bunch of shots, has a broken rib. He's not going to be playing football this week after not practicing. But they showed then they have no problem with him playing after not practicing, which is interesting as well. But we'll hit the phones on this next 800-636-1067. How would you handle Jaden Daniels with the sprained knee? Status for this weekend now in doubt. Dan Quinn's talking at 3:30 today on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.